And tonight I want to look at a man named Simeon. And Simeon, he shows up one time here. And you know, when I read about Simeon, he looks like probably the only man that I can see in the Bible that recognized or understood, to some degree at least, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, even the disciples, you get to the cross and they don't understand what's going on. But Simeon, quite an interesting guy. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. He's a spiritual man. That's kind of the thing. And I want you to notice, when we read about him, you'll notice multiple times here the connection with Simeon and the Spirit of God. The Bible mentions Simeon, and then it'll mention several different aspects of the Spirit of God in relation to Simeon. And, you know, he's not a priest, he's not anything in particular. He's just a man that lives in Jerusalem, that attends the temple, and when the Lord's born, he shows up and he is well connected to the Spirit of God. Let's look at verse 25 here. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple." So, you know, you've read three verses about Simeon, and every time Simeon's been mentioned, he's been mentioned in connection with the Holy Spirit of God, every single time. All right, in verse 27, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let's pray and learn a little bit about Simeon here. Father, thank you for everybody that's here tonight. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. For those that are sick, for Alan and Denise, pray that you'd heal them up. For Art and Brooke, thank you for getting baby Art out of the hospital and getting them home yesterday. And I pray there wouldn't be any further complications, that the baby would heal up, and Lord, that they wouldn't have to go back to revisit or anything like that. It would be taken care of for a while here. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for a good time this morning with the guys to pray and visit, fellowship. And Lord, thank you again for the privilege to be in the ministry. And I do pray, Lord, that we would be pleasing to you as a church, that you would bless us as a congregation, and Lord, use us as a light in Beeville, and Lord, as a witness and a good testimony here. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, old Simeon. He is a spiritual man. That is really what defines the account of him in the Bible here. Notice, I mentioned it to you, the first three times his name is mentioned here in the Bible, it's mentioned in connection with the Spirit of God and all the things that the Spirit of God are doing with him. And so there's a couple things I want to show you about Simeon. And I'll tell you what this is. I don't want it to be a cliche, and unfortunately sometimes it can be a cliche, But God is very personal. He's also general sometimes in his dealings, but he's also very personal. And we say that your personal relationship with God is the most important thing, and that truly is, that's true. Your personal fellowship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing you have. I heard somebody ask me, I don't know, a while back, they said, you know, as a pastor, what's the, and I mean, I hadn't been doing this a whole long time, so I don't have a whole lot of experience to tell them, but they said, well, so what's the hardest thing about being a pastor? I think I told them the hardest thing about being a pastor is the hardest thing about being a Christian. It's just your personal fellowship with Jesus Christ, trying to maintain the prayer life, maintain Bible reading, and maintain all those things. It's the same struggle. That personal fellowship is so important, and the devil understands that, the world understands that, and so they try to get in the way of that thing. But I want you to see here Simeon's relationship with God, the personal aspects of it, but also the way God works in a person's life that is devoted to him. And just show you three or four things here about Simeon's life. The first thing I want you to see in Simeon's life is in verse 25. It's the very first verse we read, and it deals with the characteristics of Simeon. The Bible says he's just, he's devout, and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. So this man's life, at least at this point in time in his life, is consumed with waiting for God to show up in a body. And he had understood through the scriptures, he had understood that God would one day show up in a body, and that man's name would be Jesus Christ. I don't know if he knew that, but he'd understood that God would have a son. And so he was waiting for that consolation of Israel. And the first, I guess, one thing that you can draw from that about his waiting, the Bible says that he's just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Not only do you learn that the characteristics of the Holy Spirit of God in a man show up as being just and being devout and, like I said, waiting, but his waiting for the consolation of Israel meant he had an earnest expectation of God's redemptive work, but it also determined how he lived his life. And I think you understand this, but your expectations in life determine how you live your life. What you are looking for determine how you live your life. He's waiting for, again, the consolation of Israel. And because he's waiting for God to show up here as a baby, he's living his life in a way that is just and is devout. And so so much of our lives, I can say, is determined by what we're waiting for. And waiting, I know we've talked about it before, waiting is not a passive thing. You could even liken it to waiting tables. It's a service. It is an active thing. But so much of your decision, so much of your attitude is bound up in your expectations. And so because he's waiting, he is a just man and a devout man. The Bible says of the wicked, in comparison, the wicked, the Bible says, his expectations shall die with him. His expectations don't extend beyond the grave. They're all wrapped up in something in front of his face in this world. And so, anyway, the waiting for the consolation of Israel is, it determined his character, it determined his behavior, it determined his attitude. And so the Bible describes him as just and devout. Notice that all that description describes a man who the Bible says the Holy Ghost was on him. This is a description of a man who has the Holy Ghost on him. And so he's just. We'll deal with that. That is justice. That's a right behavior. You know, there's an aspect of justice. I was thinking about this a couple days ago. There's a verse we quote, you know, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, haven't you ever heard or said, you know, I don't want justice from God, I want God's mercy, right? I don't want God's justice, I want his mercy. But God said, if a man will confess his sins, then the just thing to do is forgive him of those sins. That's the right thing to do. And so that is a part of God's justice. That's not unjust or unjust to do that. That is a part of God's justice. He said that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I wanted to mention that because we often think of justice as in opposition to God's grace, and really it's not. If God said justice in that scenario, when a man or woman decides to confess, to own up, to take the blame, to admit their wrong, to repent of that sin, then it is just of God to forgive that soul. So justice is not, oftentimes it's put in contrast or almost contradiction with grace, and it's not. It's not a contrast of it necessarily. But Simeon here, he's a just man. He's a devout man. The Bible says he's devout in verse 25. Devout just means committed. He had been waiting, and so he's committed. Now you think about this, about devout or devotion to something. It's getting harder and harder to find people who are committed to really anything, I guess. But the work of God, it's tough. I guess it's always been tough to find folks who would be committed to the work of God. But this is our idea of devotion to God or commitment. We want God to give us something, and then we'll be willing to commit something back to him. We want him to show up first and do something for us, then I'll be willing to commit something to him. I mean, at least that's kind of the bargain in our minds. Now listen to what the Bible says about commitment. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So you know what comes before the work of God? A commitment on your part. Listen to this one. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The thought patterns get corrected. So we've got it. It's just a note here. We've got it a little bit backwards, I think, when we say, I want God to do something for me, and then I'll be willing to put my foot in, throw my hat in the ring or whatever. And God said, it doesn't work that way. I have shown my level of commitment to you already. I've died on the cross for your sins. I've resurrected from the dead. I'm willing to give you my Holy Spirit. I have shown my level of commitment to you. Now it's beholden to you and me to show our level of commitment to him. If you want to see God do something, we're not waiting for him to do something. He's waiting on a commitment from us to do something with him. So there's a couple verses there I just read to you. There's others. But the idea is, here's Simeon. He's a committed man, and he's committed. Therefore, he's going to be in the right place at the right time. He's going to get some things from the Lord that other people who aren't committed aren't going to get from the Lord. But it's going to be as a result of his commitment to God. And so devout, it just means he's devout. He's committed to this thing. And so, again, that if you want to see God do something good or use you in some good way, you're going to have to commit something to him. You're going to have to commit some time to him. You're going to have to commit some part of your life to him if you want him to work in that part of your life. All right? So, Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Therefore, he's just, he's devout. And then notice this in verse 26. This is interesting. It says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, I thought that was interesting because that is a very personal promise. And if you've got a relationship with the Lord, there are going to be some things between you and the Lord that are just between you and the Lord. They're not between everybody. They're between you and God. And Simeon, I doubt he could explain this to anybody. I mean, someone would say, well, show me proof that you're not going to die before. Well, he couldn't show anybody proof. There wasn't anything he could bring up or say. That was a personal promise to him. Not everyone got that promise. But he got that promise. He had a great desire to see God's salvation, and God said, all right, I'm not going to let you die until you see my Christ. And God is personal in that sense. He's very personal. I always like to think about the, you know, in John chapter 11, just as an example, you got Mary and Martha. When Lazarus dies, they respond almost identically to Jesus. If you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. However, Jesus Christ responds completely different to each of them. He responds personally to Martha, and he responds personally to Mary. Totally different. You don't have to go there. It's in John 11. But he deals with each of them differently. The point is, God is personal. And in this verse 26, he had given Simeon a personal promise that he was not going to see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. A personal promise. And again, that is so important in your life and my life, that relationship with God. And God is personal. He's the one that created all these relationships. And they stem from him. He started them. And so he is a personal God. All right, and then there are several things here. Then this is kind of the meat of this. Because of Simeon's, or because of the Holy Spirit's leadership in Simeon's life, there are a few things that result in his life because of the Spirit's leadership there. First of all, in verse 27, and I'm going to give them to you. Don't have a whole lot to say about them, but I'll give them to you as it show up in the text here. The first thing about the Spirit's leadership in Simeon's life. Notice verse 25, you see the characteristics of a man who is Spirit-led. Verse 26, you see a promise, a personal promise from a man who has a personal relationship with the Spirit of God. Then you see the results of all this. Verse 27, his life was led right. Verse 27 says, he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. All right, so Simeon isn't here by chance, by happenstance. It's not just a whim. He is led directly by the Spirit of God to the right place. So the first thing, I mean, if you want to make a simple application to this, being led by the Spirit of God is going to put you in the right place with the right people every time. You'll never be led wrong by the Spirit of God. Put you in the right place with the right people. Here's Simeon. He's led into the temple by the Spirit of God. Now, and I don't think it's necessarily when you think about being led by the Spirit of God, you were led by the Spirit of God here tonight. Now, that doesn't mean there was some big show or anything like that. That just meant you and the Spirit of God are in tune, and this is where he led you. This is where you end up. This is, in everyday encounters. So it's not necessarily that it's a big event that it happens. It's just you're in tune with the Spirit of God. You got a relationship with him. And you're walking in the same steps he's walking in. And so here's Simeon, he's at the right place with the right people. And what he's looking for, he's about to find. Verse 28, being led by the Spirit of God is a cause for rejoicing. Look in verse 28, it says, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. So he sees Jesus Christ, he sees the consolation of Israel, and it was cause for rejoicing. Now, contrast that with being led by the devil. All right, if your life is led by the flesh, by the devil, there's not any cause for rejoicing. I mean, there may be a cause for some pleasure, from some temporary pleasure, but in the end, there's no cause for rejoicing. Being led by the Spirit of God, there's cause for rejoicing, even in trials and tribulations. You think about those guys in Acts, where they're preaching, they're being led by the Spirit of God, they're preaching, teaching, they get thrown in jail, yet they're still rejoicing and singing and praising God. The point is, being led by the Spirit of God is cause for rejoicing. Verse 29, being led by the Spirit of God results in satisfaction. Look in verse 29. It says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I have seen what I have been looking for. Now it's okay. I'm okay to go. It is sad. I know we're all guilty of this, but it's the things that we often look for to satisfy us. They are never satisfying. You're warned over and over in the Bible about the flesh is never satisfied, the eye's not satisfied. You know, the world is going crazier and crazier. I was watching something, some video on YouTube or something like that. And anyway, some of the stuff that is said now, just it's the people, they can't even hear themselves talk now. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense, some of the things that are said. And there is no satisfaction. Every you know why the... You guys remember, I know you remember it, a couple years ago, you've got the gay marriage thing that goes through the Supreme Court. And at that time, you knew that would not be the end of any of this. And immediately then they go to the bathrooms and all that stuff. The point is, there's no satisfaction in that life. There's never a point where the flesh says, okay, we're done. I've had enough. However, being led by the Spirit, you're able to be satisfied. You can find satisfaction. That's Simeon, verse 29, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. I have seen what I've been looking for. I don't need to look anymore. It resulted, being led by the Spirit, listen, being led by the Spirit resulted in satisfaction. Being led by the Spirit did another thing. The work of God was made visible to him. He says in verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now Simeon says this, but not very many people said this during Jesus Christ's life. Remember, I mean, he is, there's a few people that follow him, a few people that follow him for food, got some disciples that follow him, got some folks, a handful of folks that follow him, but mostly, for the most part, he's rejected. Meaning the people that weren't led by the Spirit of God could not see the work of God. They were blind to what God was doing. Simeon can see it because he's led by the Spirit of God. He can see the work of God. It's made visible to him. He looks at Jesus Christ and Simeon says, this is the work of God. This is the light to lighten the Gentiles. This is the glory of thy people Israel. This is what God is doing here on earth right now. The work of God was made visible. And when you walk according to the Spirit of God, the work of God is made visible. Verse 33, the spiritual walk, or Simeon's spiritual walk here, it brought him to a place where he was able to bless other people, be a minister to other people. Verse 33, it says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I guess we just sing it tonight, the wonderful words of life. You know, that's what he says, these things, and Joseph and Mary are just, you know, pondering it, wondering what is really up with all this. I mean, I think they understand a little bit about it. Mary definitely understands a little bit about it. and talk about her on Sunday. But because he is following the Spirit of God, he's got the wonderful words of life there that he's speaking. Marvelous words there. They are amazed at what he's saying. Then he's a blessing to those in God's will in verse 34. Simeon blessed them. He tells Mary and Joseph they're blessed. And he is a blessing to the folks that are in God's will there. And that's the thing. You follow the Spirit of God. You are a blessing to other people who are trying to follow the Spirit of God. Now, you're not necessarily a blessing to everybody, but you're a blessing to people who are trying to be in the will of God. And that's what he is. He's a blessing. And then in verses 34 and 35, this is where I think perhaps he is the only man or only person in the Bible, at this time anyway, that can understand the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look, notice what he said. It's pretty interesting. Verse 34, it says, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." That sounds like the death and resurrection there. "And for a sign which shall be spoken against." That's the resurrection. "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." That's interesting he mentions that, because that's part of the gospel. Paul said over there in Romans chapter 2, he said that the secrets of men would be revealed according to my gospel. All that's part of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it digs down into the secrets of men there. But he understood that. He understood at least part of it, or some part of it. Seemed more than a lot of other people understood of it. But there were several things there. Because of his relationship with God, because of his spiritual walk, he's a spiritual man. And what's recorded about him are spiritual things. And because of his relationship with God, because of his being led by the Spirit, there are several benefits to that. And you see those from verses 27 on. And hopefully that is helpful to you. We could probably delve into all of those things and really dig them out and all that. But just give you that list there so you can see some of the things about Simeon. He's a very unique character in the Bible. Not much is said about him. He's not a priest. He's not a prophet or any of those things. He's, I guess, a normal fellow that has a relationship with the Lord, and because of that, he's given some things by the Lord that not everybody's given. And if you want to have a relationship with the Lord, you look at Simeon, and he's got a good relationship with him. Remember those things, the commitments, the justice, the waiting, the expectations he has, and the blessings and the behavior that led to because of his being led by the Spirit of God. Father, thank you so much for your words.